hello, it's me and him. Hello again. Thank you for listening to me and him.
Hello.
And it's, well, it's another day. So, well, over here in the UK, obviously the show goes out simultaneously in two different countries. And over here in the hovel in the UK, we have just had the excitement of going down to lockdown 56. How are you, Mark?
I'm great.
Good. I'm glad you're great.
Yeah, it's been a... it is January, isn't it? It's been the weirdest Christmas New Year season that I've ever experienced. So I just don't even know what date it is or what's going on anymore.
Coming or going, do you? Coming or going. Yes, it's been very chilly here. It's been chilly with you, Marcos.
It's chilly here in New York. Yes, very chilly. Chilly. Wintery chilly, funnily enough.
Wintery chilly. So there we go. Well, that's good. Thank you for... I didn't learn anything about you, really, apart from the weirdness and the cold.
Well, chillness. As you know...
Yeah. What?
I turned 50 a few days ago.
Oh, yes, you did, didn't you?
So...
No, yeah.
I didn't really think about it that much, to be honest. It was a very low-key birthday.
Did you get my present?
No, it hasn't arrived yet.
Hester reminded me about your birthday. So a big thank you to Hester. She gave me the date. Yeah. She gave the date. I knew you were having a birthday and a big one. It's very sweet. I knew that you were having a birthday, the big one, but I couldn't quite remember when it was. I was going to lean on heavily on Facebook telling me. But so, yes, the present. You haven't got it yet. Well, that's the problem with COVID, isn't it? I mean, I sent it ages ago and put a lot of thought into it. Oh, dear. Well, I hope it does turn up, Mark. It'd be awful, wouldn't it, if it just, because of the pandemic, you didn't get your present from me. That'd be awful.
Yeah.
Just let me know. I can't even tell you what it is because it's a surprise.
Okay. I'll keep an eye out for it.
Keep an eye out for it. But as the days go on and the weeks go on and you don't get it, then I presume it's lost. And
you don't seem to have much confidence in the delivery system of...
Well, I don't, because it's affecting everything, this COVID business, isn't it? And I spent ages trying to think of something suitable for you. And I've been actually saving up. I've been putting money aside over the last year for your special day. So I had a big fairly big fund, actually, put aside for your present. Mm. So it was all very exciting. So I hope it doesn't get lost. Anyway, 50, yes.
That is quite a good excuse, isn't it, for anything, if you forget someone's birthday or forget. It's like, I did send you a card, but...
Yeah.
This must be COVID.
COVID, Mark. It's not an excuse. It's not an excuse.
I'm not saying you didn't send anything. I'm just saying that it would be a good excuse.
It could be. Yes, you're right. It could be a good excuse.
You know, if you had completely forgotten your friend's birthday.
Well, not just friend's birthday. Friend's big 50. I mean, a significant milestone. So you've joined us here in the 50 club, by the way. So welcome aboard. What are you going to look forward to? Well, what you got to look forward to is turning 60 quite quickly at some point. 50s go very quickly. I haven't reached that milestone yet myself, of course. I'm 50-ish, as you know. Looking forward to getting more susceptible to dying from pandemics as you get into your 50s. I think you're now in a different band, aren't you? You know, on those little drop-down bands, they say, what age group are you in? I think quite a few of them start at, you kind of get 40 to 50 or 35 to 50, and now you're in the 50 pluses.
50 plus.
Aren't you? So you'll be in a band with people who are in their 60s, probably, on some database.
Well, that's a nice thought. I was going to say, I've actually been feeling quite happy about being 50. There's something about being 50 that feels quite liberating.
Oh, why is that?
In a way.
Why?
Well, it's just like, you know, I'm no longer a young man.
No, you're not.
I'm not old.
No.
Not by today's standards.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, it feels like it's sort of, I can't really put it into words. It just feels sort of liberating. There's no longer any pressure for me to say, what am I going to be when I grow up?
Yes.
Because I'm there.
Is that? Yes.
I've grown up.
Yes.
And this is what I am.
Yeah,
and
this is it.
That's fine. And fuck it. And fuck you.
And there's a t-shirt.
And now I could be kind of my cantankerous self and feel like,
well, I have to say,
well, it's all right because I'm 50.
I know. I have to say, when I turned 50, it's certain that was part of the fun of turning 50, was the fact that I could be a grumpy old git, and I have the age to back me up. Exactly. And I say, as you say, you kind of, there ain't no rehearsal in life. This is it. And then actually, when you reach the 50s, then it is brought home to you more than ever. And they actually say that you'll start to get happier as the 50s progress. And I think you
believe that to be true.
I think you get to the age of, I don't know what the age is. I think it's something like 70. It's quite late when people are at their most happiest in their whole lives. Isn't that interesting? And then they die. Yeah. They go, I feel content. But I think part of it is that, as we were saying when we were talking about our resolutions last time, you know, not take the whole thing about not taking yourself so seriously. It is easier to take yourself less seriously and to take other people less seriously and to realise that it's not, you know, it's all the silliness of life. I was thinking that I'm hoping that my last words, if I'm not demented or something, or killed instantaneously by a meteorite through the forehead or something, that I wanted my last words to be, well, that was rather silly, wasn't it? Because that would probably sum up life.
Yes.
It's a bit silly, isn't it?
It's
quite fun in many ways, and sometimes it's not fun, but it's generally just a bit silly.
There's a lot of silliness about it.
Well, well done. So did you get any significant presents? Because that's, you should do. Apart from mine that's coming, of course.
Did I?
Did Bert send you a card? Did Bert send you a card?
Bert sent me a Facebook happy birthday message, which was very nice.
Okay.
Which said, happy birthday.
Yeah, I did that.
That's fine.
I'm sending a present. I'm not competing with Bert, but I'm just saying, I did that and I've sent you a present. What did your mum give you? Because your mum must have given you something.
She gave me some cash.
Excellent. Good choice, mum.
Yeah, which was good because I need it. I'll tell you what's funny is that Ruby gave me this really great new Beatles book for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then my one birthday present from my brother was the same book.
I
got two copies. I thought at first it was two different books.
Yeah.
It's like, oh wow, this one's, because this one's called 150 Glimpses of the Beatles by Craig Brown.
Yeah.
And then I saw this thing waiting for me downstairs. Like, that looks like a book. I said, I bet it's the same one. That I have a feeling. And I opened it up and it was like, it's called 1234 by Craig Brown. I was like, oh brilliant, that'll go with the other one. Then I realized it's the same book. It's just, that's the American release of it, and that was the British release.
See, the irony, of course, of all this is, you know what's happened, don't you?
Oh no, you've sent me the same thing.
Well, I can't say. I'm not going to spoil it, but that is very ironic, isn't it? What are the chances?
Very funny.
So
I'm just, maybe I'll just collect different copies of that book from around the world in different languages.
Yes, you've got nothing else to do, have you?
No.
So yes, career wise, how's that going at the moment? All right. Career?
That old thing.
Yeah.
I have not given a moment's thought to anything to do with that in the last couple of weeks. To be honest.
Career.
And that's fine.
What about this tune? You're gonna finish off this tune with Loz. The Loz Crozer tune.
Well, it's kind of finished, we just need to record it. And we were very close to finishing it, but then, you know, Christmas and everything got in the way. So, I need to follow up with him. Because it's been almost a year since we started working on it. It'll be the 1 year, and we'll finish it on the 1 year anniversary. Prolific songwriting partnership there, banging out one song a year.
Expectations are quite high, aren't they?
Eh?
And then, of course, are they? Yes, they're quite high. On that song, because you had a year to make it good. A whole year. It'd be interesting for listeners to find out what a year's worth of work turns out as. It's very high expectations. Can I just have a quick bitch about something?
I would love to hear a bitch.
You probably haven't watched it. You might have heard of it. It's a TV series on Netflix. I haven't done this already, have I?
No, but I know what you're going to talk about, because I saw you posted something about it.
You saw me ranting, a pre-rant.
Mm.
So we haven't talked about it, have we?
No.
No. So there's a new series on Netflix called Bridgerton, and it's set in Jane Austen times, ostensibly it is anyway, but it's kind of been Barbara Cartlanded up. It's been kind of trashed up and everything else.
Right.
And it's a huge hit. Lots of, I think, Rotten Tomatoes has given it a 92% good. What are they called? Good pure tomatoes? No, a good. What's they called? Good
fresh
tomatoes. Fresh. Thank you. Which is very unusual, and some really good reviews. And it's shit.
Is it?
And I'm not the only one, thank God, because we tried watching it, and we did, and they're an hour long each, and we watched 4 hour long episodes, and I'd given up by number two, but Katie was thought, well, let's just keep going. Just, and then at the end of number four, she went, "This is shit." So,
What's shit about it?
It's I don't mind it. Can I just say, it's not a snobby thing. I don't mind a bit of trash. So I watched that thing, Emily in Paris, and I quite enjoyed it. I knew it was a bit shit. It was like sub Sex and the City. And if this series, the idea of kind of a sexy-ish Austin thing is a good idea.
But sexy Austin.
Sexy Austin. And it could be kind of done really camply. It could be funny. It could be like a carry-on version of it would have been worth watching. But it's just kind of... It's like they spent a lot of money on the sets and the clothes and everything, but the two leads are dull as ditch water, fucking dull actors, like balsa wood flapping in the wind in terms of their acting. Mm. The script is like meh. Some of the secondary actors can act, but it's just generally a bit dull. And you think, what a missed opportunity. And it's kind of, I'm fascinated by it because it's had such good reviews, which makes me think I can't trust anything what Rotten fucking Tomato says after that. And I'm not being snobby. I really do appreciate good trash TV or trash, you know, guilty pleasure type stuff. But it's just fucking, and I did 4 hours and I thought, no, this just, it's particularly the two leads are just boring as fuck. So if anyone else feels like that, do let us know by contacting us.
I'm looking at pictures of it just to get an idea.
I mean, I almost want you to give it a go, Mark, because I'd quite like to have your thing on it. But I was overwhelmed by the end, and I was overwhelmed by the kind of the general positive press it got, and I was thinking, I don't understand.
Well, maybe it's just not for you.
Well, obviously, it's not for me.
I mean, it's aimed at, you know, young people or the really old. Not as middle-aged,
yeah, maybe
types.
Pass up.
Yeah, maybe I will. I will watch it now. Go on, I'll have to watch one episode based on that just to see.
Do it. No, I just think it's a missed opportunity. I think a sort of carry-on version of Austin would have been much better.
That is actually quite. Yeah, but
But it's, and they spent shitloads of money on the sets and everything else. It's just literally the
carry-on version would have had to have had a character called Mr. Arsey.
Yes. There we go, Mr. Arsey. But it's just, you know, sort of just let the Blackadder team rip through it. You know, do a movie version of just get Curtis and Elton John, whatever.
Yeah, Elton John to do
a version of it. Just because. But anyway, I just thought it was disappointing. Really, I was disappointed. I thought it might be good trash TV, and it was just bollocks. Obviously, just my opinion, everyone. So I've got that out of the way. I think it's time to. I think it's time.
Time to what?
Is it time to look at the Bible?
Let's Bible that shit up.
Bible study with Mark and Bruce. Bible study with Mark and Bruce.
So, if everyone, please, if you can turn to chapter 25 of Genesis. Now, this is to do with quite an important character. Now, I'm going to do some paraphrasing here a bit, I'm afraid, because we're dealing with now with Jacob. And Jacob is the... Who's Jacob, Mark? Can you remember who Jacob is?
Was he the person that invented the cream cracker?
He did invent the cream cracker, yes, but not the same. It might have been the same. Hang on, I'll just check the footnotes here. See if it says... Oh, yes, it does. It says at the bottom here, yeah. Yes, he invented the cream cracker. I didn't realise that. But not only did he invent the cream cracker, He was also Abraham's son. Right. Abraham had two sons.
That's what I was going to say.
No, not Abraham's son. That's bullshit.
Oh, no, that's not what I was going to say.
Isaac.
Isaac's son.
So right. Abraham, yeah, remember, I love from
Isaac
last week,
was
Abraham,
the one who was going to be sacrificed and he didn't
right.
get,
yeah.
and then...
Yeah. Let's go, PTSD Isaac. He had two sons, Jacob and Esau. So we're now going to follow... Now, Jacob, just bear in mind, listener, that Jacob is a very significant person in the Bible, like Abraham and Isaac, because he'll go on, spoiler alert, but he'll go on to basically have 12 sons who become the 12 tribes of Israel. So an important fellow. Let's find out about him, shall we? Let's find out what this Jacob is like. We'll pick up with verse 27, of course. The boys grew up. That is, of course, Esau and Jacob, so they're brothers. And Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. Is that a euphemism? He was a quiet man staying among the tents.
Yeah, we know what that means.
We know what's going on there. Jacob, I told you. You won't get any action round there. Try as much as you like. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah, who is Isaac's wife, loved Jacob.
Okay. Oh dear. I see where this is going.
Yeah, well, here we go. So, once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open countryside, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have..." I'm going to do some acting now. I do apologize. "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished."
Yeah.
Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." to which Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die. What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." Oh, you can imagine him, can't you? "Yeah, swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. So there we go. That's the first introduction to Jacob there, Mark.
That is another very bizarre occurrence of the... What is it? Sell me your birthright.
Yeah.
And he must have been really hungry to have actually... agreed.
I actually looked into this stew. I actually looked into one of those biblical commentary things, and I think what they were saying was, I think in the original Aramaic or whatever it was, that he was fucking close to death. It wasn't like, "Oh, I feel a bit hungry." It was like he was pretty, desperate.
Right.
And hence, it's like, and you can understand if you're desperate for food, it's like, please just give me some. But it's the way Jacob turned it to his advantage.
Yeah, some brother that is.
God, the brother thing. Cain and Abel, Esau and Jacob. Goes on, doesn't it? So anyway, we just established that there. So that's what happened there. So his birthright has gone to him. So it's just...
what is his birthright anyway?
I think basically, because Jacob's the older of the two, I think. So he should get the good... Esau is the older. Yes, he is the older son. Mm. So basically... so there's the birthright. So he's lost that. Now later on, Chapter 27, when Isaac was old, so when daddy was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And his son said, "Here I am." Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now get your weapons, go out into the..." I'm paraphrasing a bit now. "Into the open countryside and go and get some tasty food for me. Yeah, bring it back here so I can have some lovely, nice, tasty food before I die. Okay. Now Rebecca, don't forget, is the wife. She was listening in. Okay, so Esau now has just gone off to get some food for daddy, she's listening in, and she basically says to Jacob, "Look, go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so that I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Okay. So Jacob said to his mum, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? Well, hang on.
Hang on a second. Expect. Are you making this up?"
No, this is what it says.
It actually says, "He's a hairy man and I've got smooth skin."
He apparently was quite hairy. Yeah, he's got smooth skin. "What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself. And his mum says, look, don't worry, son. The curse, if it's a curse, let it fall on me. Just do as I say. Come on, off you go. So off she cooks up the food, blah, blah, blah. He goes in there. So don't forget, Esau is out hunting game.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes. And so Jacob goes in and says, hello, dad. Yes, my son, who is it? And Jacob says, I am Esau, your firstborn. Of course he says that.
Is Isaac blind?
Yeah, he's blind. Yeah,
right.
And a little bit stupid. Please sit up and eat some of this food, and so that you may give me my blessing. So basically, what happens is he does. He paraphrasing on. He basically gives him the food, and he gets the blessing. And before he gets the blessing, he sort of says, hang on, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And then the son says, because what's happened is the wife, this is it, is taking one of the goats and has dressed him up in some goat hair. So he feels a bit hairy. Okay. He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So, okay.
Yes.
She's knitted this hair costume that he's had to put on so that... so that he can dupe his father.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I believe that. I see it, okay. Yeah.
So he does, and basically Isaac gets the food, loves it, and blesses him, and says, you will be blessed forevermore because, you know, the Lord will bless you, God will bless you, you'll have lots of sons, which he does, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel and everything else. But of course, Esau comes back in from hunting. He too is now, he's got some tasty food, fresh food. And he says, my father, sit up and eat some of this lovely food so that you may give me your blessing. And his father Isaac asked him, who are you? And Esau says, I'm your son, your firstborn. Isaac trembled violently and said, who was that then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came and I blessed him. And indeed, he will be blessed now. And Esau basically says, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. And then Esau says, blah blah blah, he has deceived me these two times. He took my birthright and now he has taken my blessing. And then he says to his dad, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? And Isaac answers by saying, oh, I've made him lord over you and have made all his relatives his servants, and I've sustained it, and he'll get everything, chum. So what can I possibly do for you? And Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father. And then basically Isaac basically says, I can't. I'm out, but I can't. That was it. There was only one left in the box, in the blessing box. It's all gone. Look, I'll show you. It's empty.
Right.
There we go. We'll just pause there.
Okay. Oh, my word.
My word.
I can't keep up with all this. Honestly, my brain is just... it's just all too weird. I don't understand all this blessing nonsense. How can you fool somebody with a something made out of goat hair? I mean,
well, apparently it established beforehand in the previous chapter that Esau was quite hairy.
No, I know that, but how would anyone be deceived by something? Like, you know, oh, just stick a bit of goat hair on yourself. He'll think it's the other one.
Yeah.
It's like, obviously, Isaac is not in his right mind. So no, whatever blessing he makes,
yeah,
I don't think it's legally binding because he's not of a sound mind.
That's obviously interesting, isn't it? I don't think that happens, though, because basically what happens is Jacob gets everything and Esau.
Well, there's also the implication that because he says, oh, you'll be blessed, he will be blessed.
Hmm.
That sort of seems to indicate that God is at Isaac's beck and call to do whatever he likes. It's like, well, I told him he's going to be blessed by God,
yeah,
and have all these children, even though he's been a deceitful little shit.
Yeah.
And therefore he will be, because that's what God will just do it, because he's my bitch.
Well, he does. I mean, God does do it because of that, basically. He basically is the favoured. I mean, Esau says it a bit later, held a grudge against Jacob. He said to himself, these days of mourning for my father are near, then I will kill my brother Jacob. He doesn't, actually. And they kind of make up. I think Jacob does a kind of, sends him over some chocolates or something, and they kind of make up. So they didn't. It's not a Cain and Abel thing. He doesn't kill Jacob. But yes, he gets all the blessings, Jacob, out of this. He gets mightily blessed because Jacob has blessed him. So it's like a magic thing, isn't it? The blessing's like a magic thing that blesses people. If you've got it, it'll, as a result. Yes, as you say, God is a bit like his bitch at that point, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And surely there's no limit to how many blessings you can give, is there? Oh, I've already blessed him. I can't bless you as well.
He's probably only given by the magic blessing fairy. He was only given one. He wasn't given three wishes. He was given one wish.
I mean, people walk around, you know, saying bless you if someone sneezes. There's no limit. It's like, I've already blessed someone today. After they sneezed, I can't do it to you as well. Sorry about that.
Well, maybe we should only be blessing people once a year. Maybe what's the quota for blessing, do you reckon? Maybe we overuse blessings. When people say bless you, when somebody sneezes, maybe that's meaningless. Maybe that's how. Maybe that's partly why the plague has spread, COVID. Because if you had the original power of an original blessing, you say bless you when somebody sneezes, and the COVID would never have been spread. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I agree.
That's 100% credible, isn't it?
Totally credible, yeah.
Totally credible.
There's it's kind of science behind that.
Well, it's, do you reckon it's as credible as some of the things we've been reading about in the good book?
Well, I mean, yes, probably. I mean, this one, I think, is... I just don't... I'm not following the whole goat hair scenario.
Well, you're not buying it.
I'm not buying it.
It happened because I've just read it.
No, I don't mean not following it. I mean, I'm not buying it.
You're not buying it. Yeah, you don't think...
So it was Rebecca. I'm sorry, I'm getting a bit lost.
That's all right.
She's the one who said, hey, I'll go and let's make this dinner for your dad.
Yeah.
Before the other one gets back. That's right. Her husband is out there.
That's right. A blind husband. Yeah.
No, I mean, who's doing all the... he's gone out hunting to make a meal for his father.
Ezel's out, gone out there.
Yeah, I thought you said Rebecca was Ezel's.
Oh, sorry,
wife.
No. Rebecca also goes and gets some, knocks up some food. Yeah,
yeah, she is gets a Ezel's couple of goats. Wife. Yeah,
that's right. And who's the wife? And she's Isaac's wife.
Oh, she's Isaac's wife.
Yes.
Well, hang on a second. Hang on a second.
Yes. Why not?
I thought you said that there was a wife who liked the brother.
No. Rebecca. Is the wife of Isaac.
Right.
Yeah. Is the mother. And the Rebecca preferred Jacob to Ezel.
Oh, right. Okay. I got a misunderstood.
Whereas Isaac, that's understandable. Isaac likes Ezel a bit more. So favoured child. So her favourite child was Jacob. Hence all this shenanigans over like, look, I'm going to make sure you get the blessing, even though your brother that you've already screwed over should really get the blessing.
So essentially the story here is once again that they're trying to make it out like the woman is the deceitful, conniving character in the story by manipulating her son into giving...
It does look a bit like that, yeah.
Yeah.
It does look as if the... Yeah, that she's... Yeah. She's...
God, the Bible is just fucking so misogynistic, isn't it? It's ridiculous.
Well,
not ridiculous, not the right word. I mean, it's...
Well, I think it might change soon. I mean, it was still only Genesis. I mean, maybe over time it's going to...
Oh, that's true, yeah. I suppose we're still at the beginning. Still in the beginning, at the beginning.
Other things don't happen. But,
well, what happens next then?
Well, I don't think we've got time for it today.
Oh, haven't we? Oh, all right.
Well, there is... Well, I mean, do you want to do a bit more? There is a bit more, which you might like.
Well, if there's a bit more to this particular story, I feel we should...
Well, it's still with Jacob. We'll do the bit more with Jacob, then we'll leave Jacob alone. Okay, right, so just very quickly, everyone. A bit later on in time, Jacob's got a couple of wives now, okay? He's got a couple of wives, Rachel and somebody else. I think Leah, Rachel and Leah. He fancied Rachel, and the father of Rachel and Leah said, tell you what, I'll chuck Rachel in, but you'll have to take Leah. So, all right, okay.
We got job lot.
Job lot of the two work, and he also and some couple of maid servants. I think he buffs one of the maid servants too. Anyway, so there you go. Oh, he's also got so he's got lots of sons. He's got all the sons now, and lots of 11 sons. I think at this point, I think there's 12 tribes anyway. Oh, 11. Anyway, blah blah blah. He was alone, okay, and he was left alone. He was alone at this particular moment. His kids and his wives and his mate.
Who? This is
Jacob. Jacob okay. is alone. Okay. Right. And it says here. So it says, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak.
Okay.
When the man saw that he could not overpower Jacob, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until..." Guess what? Guess what Jacob's after? What does Jacob like?
Some stew.
To steal. He likes stew, but what does he like to? What does he like to get?
Oh, someone's
his?
Birthright.
Or?
His wife. The other one.
No.
Crackers.
Birthright, or what else does he like a lot of? He's got a real taste for it. He's blessed him. Blessing.
Oh, he's blessing.
I will not let you go until you, total stranger that I've been wrestling with all night,
give me your blessing.
Bless me.
Right.
So the man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?"
Why do you ask my name?
So Jacob called. Anyway, then the sun rose above him as he passed. That's it, really. It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. So he named the place Peniel. Peniel, which basically means face of God. Because what it is that he was wrestling with God. Yeah, it was what? God that
absolute
had a
rubbish.
Well, no, it's actually here. You can't say that. It's actually in the good book, which is being sanctioned by many churches over many millennia. You can't.
How did that start?
Well, the wrestling.
Some bloke was walking along. He's like, "Yeah, I don't know what you're up to for the next 3 hours, but do you fancy a quick wrestle?"
I don't think he actually asked.
All right.
I think he just went for it.
Well, he just came running in. There's a knock at the front door, and Jacob went to the front door, and this bloke just rushed in, like, pinned him down.
Yes, that's what it is.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, it's just what I do. I just go around wrestling people overnight. It's just my thing. Why? I don't know. Just can't help it.
Chuckity. He left a card.
Do you think he was wearing like a wrestling sort of, you know, some kind of wrestling thong?
WWE.
Like Hulk Hogan or something.
Yeah. And here's my card. If you enjoyed that and you'd like another a wrestler in the future, please call this number.
This one's on me, but yeah. Next time it's $25 an hour.
But Jacob was quite clever though, wasn't he? So it was interesting is that God, in this form, even though he's God, says, was he could only match the strength of Jacob. So this wrestle went on for longer than usual all night because they were Jacob was holding his own. So God said, "Right, I'm going to fuck up your socket." I presume that's not a legal move, is it? Buggering up the socket of somebody else's hip. They don't do that in WWE, do they?
I think that would be disqualification.
He wrenched his hip. So God wrenched Jacob's hip so he could win. But I think even then, he still doesn't get Jacob... It looks as if God started the wrestle, and then he couldn't get out of it. So
he probably thought, "I'll get that Jacob." very quickly. I'll pin him down, like, in a few seconds, and it'll be all over. But he didn't realise that Jacob was actually quite good at wrestling. See, this is all a euphemism, isn't it? Wasn't it? When they say wrestle, it was, you know... Hey?
Hey. I know what it was.
Some all-night wrestling.
Jacob spent the whole night... Okay, the family, his wives, his maid servants, and all his kids were off somewhere else. And he saw it was a good opportunity to spend the night with a man in his tent. But one of his wives came back home early, and she peeped in, and they were still wrestling, inverted commas. And then, so Jacob had to think really quickly afterwards and say... Ah, right. I know that looked a little bit like something else, but actually, you wouldn't believe it. It was God, and I fucking had him. I didn't have God. I looked like I was having him, but I had him in terms of my wrestle move.
I got him in a headlock.
I had him in a headlock, and it was only because he fucked up my hip that he got out of it. Otherwise, I'd still have God in a headlock. But the good thing is, he's blessed me. I've got another blessing, so I'm going to hang that up on my blessing trophy
on the
thing
on
over
the blessing
here.
Wall.
The blessing wall. That's another one. There we go.
Yeah,
God. I think that's Jacob.
Oh.
I hope you've taken something away from this, and I hope you're going to take everybody, listeners and Mark, something away from this, and you're going to apply this to your lives during the week, everyone.
Oh, I'm going to apply that practically this week.
Yep. Or you're just going to burst into someone's house.
It was in the Bible. It said it in the Bible, so. You've got no leg to stand on.
Let's wrestle. What? Yeah, let's wrestle.
Come on. Are you
all
ready
night
to rumble?
Oh, dear. There we go. Thank you, Good Book. Let's leave it right there. So I think we better move on to some... it's time for Hester's Tester, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah, it's a quick and easy one.
Oh, lovely. We've got no corporate investors. Like a couple of jesters, try to stop us, you try to arrest us, but before you do, it's time for Hester's Testers.
Who would you like to be for one day, and why? Political figures are not allowed.
Well, Mark, you answer that. You start with that.
Well, I asked the question.
Oh, you should do it. All right. No. Oh, no.
It's traditional normally that when someone asks a question, answers it first.
Oh, right. So, what was the question again? I was playing with my
seven words. Who would you like to be for one day and why? Not including a political figure.
I wouldn't want to be a political figure. I mean, that's nuts,
well,
isn't it?
That's right. Sure. Should we just to set the ground rules here that it could be anybody alive or dead? Or does it have to be someone alive? I think you say anybody from...
Anybody. History. Anybody in history. Yeah. I suppose, Jesus.
Why would you want to be Jesus?
Just to find out, really.
What if the day you picked was the day you got crucified?
Oh, no, not that day. I wouldn't choose that day.
Yeah,
I'd choose a good day.
You might not
day.
Be able to choose,
good
the
day.
Right. You can only choose the person. You can't choose the day.
Well, who chooses the day?
Which is random. It's like a...
You
picked the crucifixion day.
I won't.
That's bad luck.
I won't do that. I was hoping that if the little thing landed on the day when he was like really popular, that party he was at in Cana where he turned the water into wine. Just at that moment, you've turned all the water into wine and everyone would be fucking loving you, wouldn't they? They'd be going, oh,
Blasphemy!
Jesus, that's brilliant. You're such a cool guy. But no, if it's too random, I'm not going to risk the crucifixion. So no. Mm. Or the whipping bit beforehand.
Yeah.
He got whipped, didn't he, with... I'm doing that. All right.
Wouldn't you rather be somebody who's, you know...
Just out of interest, really. You know,
got some kind of sex life. Because, I mean...
What, just a
day
for sex?
Isn't it? Yeah, it doesn't matter, does it?
It's pointless, isn't it? Mine would be more like curiosity to see what it felt to be that person, I suppose. You know, something like... Oh, maybe a general. maybe a general in a good war. I know, but
general in a good war.
A good war when I was winning it, like Wellington.
About war.
Wellington at Waterloo. I don't know, but if I can't have the time period, then it's very difficult, isn't it? Because everybody's lives has tricky bits. Mm. Can we please choose a time? Because
all right, let's
silly.
Say you're allowed to choose. You're allowed to pick a person and a moment in their life.
All right, Jesus wedding at Cana. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do a really victorious moment with somebody and see what that feels like. I don't know, actually. Wellington, Waterloo? No, because it was a pretty foul conflict, actually. He found it very difficult because lots of men, lots of people died. Not everyone died, but maybe not that. maybe a woman. Can I be a woman?
You can be whatever you like.
Can I be Kate Bush? Kate Bush, on her tour, one of her tour dates back in the 80s, maybe at the Hammy Pally, when she was doing her... She only did one tour, I think, but it was quite a famous tour, lots of dancing and stuff. But that must have felt good. That must have felt good because she was the she was... everyone liked her. Good tunes. So maybe Kate Bush. And I just like her a lot. There you go.
That's quite good.
Over to you, Mark.
See you as Kate Bush.
You do?
I can see you as Kate Bush, yeah. Comes naturally prancing around in flowing leotard with flowy
scarves. Yeah. How about you, Mark? Can I call you Mark, or do I have to call you Mr. Crozer now? Now you're 50. You've reached that.
Yeah, let's go to this. Yeah, Mr. Crozer.
Mr. Crozer.
I see. I'm not going to answer to my first name anymore.
No. So, Mr. Crozer, what's going to be your choice?
I think I would quite like to have been Stan Laurel for a day, like, you know, the peak of Laurel and Hardy's success, you know, like on set making Way Out West or something like that.
Oh, yes.
That would have been good. Would you be that person and sort of retain your own mind? Like,
I think you'd have to be, otherwise it's pointless, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I think it's pointless. I think you basically inhabit, so it'd be like a kind of... So I think there'd be the two of you in there together, mm, to some extent. Otherwise, it'd be weird. It'd be too weird when you think, fucking hell, this is, you know, I think so.
Quite like to be Paul McCartney for a day.
Ah, yeah. Yes.
You know.
How about, I tell you what, one of the Beatles, when they did, I like the idea of being one of the Beatles when they played on top of the roof of that building for the Let It Be album.
Oh, yeah. There'd be so many good moments, yeah, wouldn't there, really, to be a Beatle. Like,
or, as another one, I would love to have been one of the Pythons on set of Life of Brian. Because it was nice weather, and they were making a fantastic film, and they were just, and it was, everyone was happy. Graham Chapman wasn't pissed out of his head every night. It was a really happy time period for them, and just to be amongst, just doing that, making that movie.
Mm.
Good. There we go. Thank you, Hester. Thank you, Hester. Actually, we should find out from Hester as well who she would like to be at some point.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
No, yes. Tell us, Hester.
Let us know.
Let us know. You know where to go. Go on Facebook. Hester. Go on Facebook. Although we quite often don't actually look at Facebook, do we? I think Hester put up a question and we ignored it, and eventually she emailed.
Yeah, email your questions in to me or to either of us, rather than Facebook, because I always forget about.
Oh no, they contact us. They contact me on Facebook now. Anyway. That's not interesting, is it? Come on, time for Hooky. Come on, bring Hooky in.
On the Hook with Simon Hook. His questions we do slay. Unrinsed up slay.
Bonnie Annie, brilliant birthday blatherers. Fantastic. Once again, alliteration there from Hookster. Some people might consider humans as the most intelligent creatures on Earth, but I wonder if our dominance has more to do with our opposable thumbs. If, somewhere in the vast universe, there is a very similar planet to ours, where the pigs or horses are the dominant intelligent species, how would they invent writing? The internet? Air travel? Design? Cities? Make mobile phones that could be operated by hooves or trotters? Suppose they just domesticated the imbecilic humanoids with their dexterous hands to do their bidding. What do you consider are the pros and cons of being owned by a horse or pig in this scenario? Well, I think it's a couple of questions in there, isn't there?
There's a lot of questions in there. Well, I mean, I think you probably would have to say that that it couldn't happen that a pig or a horse with... as in the way that we know a pig or a horse could become the dominant species, because it, you know, we have evolved with the reason we are the dominant species is because we've evolved as we are.
Yeah.
You know, everything.
Yeah.
Our brains have evolved to be able to, you know, come up with language.
Yes.
And to be able to invent things. And yes, yes, because of our design of our hands,
mm-hmm,
that's obviously a big part of it. So how could something with a hoof or a trotter ever create anything enough to evolve to that level of intelligence?
Yes. My
question to that question.
And for those of you at home who can't see this, I was rather enjoying Mark's mime of a horse with the trotters trying to write.
And it's, horses don't have trotters. Yes.
Sorry, hooves trying to write. Mind you, they could do very good hoof, paintings. With hooves, couldn't you just stick your hooves in the different colour paint, and you could then get a bit of paper or the side of a cave or something and do some hoof art, couldn't you? You could do some artistic things. Maybe they would just, if they did develop our level of cognitive powers, they would then invent machines with much bigger keys. Then that would work, wouldn't it? Big hooves, but actually much bigger keyboards.
Yeah, but how would they make the keyboards?
They train some squirrels.
How?
Or mice. How? It's the Squirrel Training Academy, and train them into how to make microchips and things like that. And then they'd have the little squirrel fingers to be able to do the integral microchip bit, but then they build the computers for their masters, the horses, who then have a big keyboard. And
then that also implies that the squirrels have to have a level of intelligence to be able to take instruction.
Well, yes.
You know, I could, right, you squirrel, make those keyboards there, and it would just look at me and go,
yeah,
and then run off and find some nuts.
Yes. Well, I guess if you've got a horse that has the capacity to use a computer, then I imagine that other animals can also be taught in another planet.
Mm.
Yeah? Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah? All right.
Yeah?
I suppose so.
Yeah?
I suppose so.
All right. Now, let's move on to the other bit, because we've answered that beautifully, as per usual. What if we were slaves? They domesticated us because we had good hands. They could do that, couldn't they? They could domesticate. I saw a horse the other day, and I was giving it a little horsey cuddle. It wasn't my horse. They're very cuddly. They're very, you know. And then I suddenly was aware, because I had the head right where my head was. And I was going, look at your big horse. And then it was looking at me, and I was thinking, you're fucking huge. You could just nut me to death. You could just bang me out of the way with your head. Give me this Glasgow kiss that would crush my skull. But you don't. You haven't yet, anyway. And I thought, they are powerful beasts. So, yes, if they became clever enough and they wanted to turn on us. Do you not think that sometimes when you go through a field of cattle, you think they could just tear me apart.
Well, whenever I'm walking through a field of cattle in New York City, Think about that all the time.
You think about that a lot, don't you? But you used to walk through Catalog. Do you remember that? Remember when you were back here in England, Shire, and there was that walk from the house to Weston on the Green. Did you ever do that walk where there were those cows? There was four or five cows that were like living in the bushes, and they came out and they were terrorizing people a bit. They were jumping out, and did that happen to you once?
I don't remember being really terrorized. I mean, I know there were a lot of cows around just roaming.
But there was particular four or five of them down by this little bridge over the brook, and it happened to me. They just came out of nowhere the leader came right up to me. Cows don't do this. Came right up to me, and I thought, oh, this is sweet. I'll pet it. And then he just kept walking. And I had to keep walking backwards because I think he's not stopping. So I started walking back. And then I dropped my my jumper. And then I turned around, and it was snuffling it. And I thought, do I go back for it? Or is he gonna eat me or something? It was quite scary. Gang of cows. Yeah, but it's happened to somebody else. I think it happened to Bertie as well.
So hang on a second. This moment of terror was a cow snuffling your jumper.
Well,
doesn't sound very frightening, I have to say, or intimidating.
Well, no, because he was behaving very uncow-like. She was behaving uncow-like because she was pushing me. She was pushing towards me. And cows don't do that. They run away normally, or they stock still. But it was like really, really pushing me.
And they just sensed that you were, scared. You were an easy target. He's got no balls, that one.
Let's see if he falls over backwards. Come on, a new game. Bored cows. Let's see if we can knock one of these walkers over. Just knock it over. See what happens.
Mm.
Thank you, Hooky. I'm sure. Hang on. The final bit is there. What do you consider are the pros and cons of being owned by a horse or pig in this scenario? If a horse or pig was your master, would you like it, Mark? Are there some pros?
Would you like it? Yeah, it'd be great.
Okay. Just imagine now that there's a horse that's in charge of you. So you're there now, but the horse is in the house and is in charge of you. You can't do anything without checking in with the horse first. Would that be all right for you? Would you feel a bit...
I think it would be a bit uncomfortable.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm just trying to imagine the situation where I'm
okay
being controlled by a horse. Because the thing is, I'll just go upstairs, and it can't come up. Horses can't go upstairs, can they? Really? Yeah. Like Daleks, old-fashioned Daleks.
Except, of course, horses can wait at the bottom of the stairs until you're a little bit hungry, and then you have to go downstairs. Anyway.
Well, by that point, I would have fashioned some kind of horse-killing weapon.
Wow, you're going to kill a horse?
Well, I mean, if it was between the horse and me and my survival...
I didn't say the horse was a horrible horse. It was just... the question here is that it's been owned. It's just owned.
I don't want to be owned by a horse, so I would figure out a way of killing the horse and then eat it.
Oh, fucking hell. And you're a vegetarian as well. That's disgusting. How about a pig? How about a pig? How about a pig? If a pig, a pig owned you, Mark, how would you feel about that?
I think I'd rather be owned by a pig than a horse because they're somehow less intimidating. I think pigs are quite funny. Horses are just a bit scary.
Yeah.
You know, a horse could, if it got a bit overexcited, it could, like you say, sort of trample you to death.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas a pig would just be like...
Pigs do eat people, though, don't they?
Yeah, they do eat people. They'd have to kill you first. And I think a pig... probably couldn't kill you as easily as a horse could kill you.
There's only one way to find out.
And if the pig...
We need to set this up.
I would just close the door, because pig can't open a door, can it? If we're in this scenario where the pig is the master of the world, but it has it's the limitations of being a pig physically, then... I just close the door, and that would then prove that I am cleverer than a pig.
Okay,
clever. And then we go, God, why did I make a door? Should have thought about that.
Yes.
I suppose in the pig world, there wouldn't be any doors, would there? It would just be like one massive sty. And we'd all be like, living in little huts with a trough of food.
Shit food as well. We have to eat their shit.
Rolling around
their slop.
In poo.
I don't want to do that. Well, let's hope that doesn't come to pass. I mean, anything could come to pass because of what's happened the last year, but yeah. Let's hope that doesn't.
That'll be the next thing. The 2021 year of the pigs.
Oh, dear. Andrew Love. Andrew Love. If you want some graphic design, go to Andrew Love. Some graphic design, go to Andrew Love. Andrew Love. Andrew Love.
Oh, Andrew, I do love this logo.
Before we go, I just want to. You just touched upon.
I was just scratching myself.
No. You touched upon. It's a downside of doing this by Zoom, as I can see what you're doing with your hands now. You touched upon Doctor Who then, and I haven't seen the Doctor Who special. Now, I presume you have.
I just watched it last night.
And did you enjoy it?
To an extent, I've got to say, I'm not enamoured with Jodie Whittaker as Doctor Who, and it's not because she's a woman.
I know.
Just to be clear, I don't care whether Doctor Who's a man or a woman.
Yeah.
She's just, as I said before, I just find she reminds me too much of Sue Pollard.
Yeah.
In Heidi High.
Okay, yeah.
And I can't, and now that I've thought that, I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah, she loses gravitas, doesn't she, when you think about her as Sue Pollard.
Yeah, and I think I just wish that they would make Doctor Who, they would inject a bit more gravitas into, you know, like a sort of Pertwee style gravitas. Because there was humour in it, but it was, I think it's just got a bit too, I don't know.
Could we compare, for example, like, this episode was like Moonraker to any of the Sean Connery movies apart from the last one. So Moonraker versus Goldfinger. Goldfinger was quite weighty, really, wasn't it? I mean, lots of gold, but it was quite weighty, wasn't it?
I quite like Moonraker because it is just so stupid. Mm. I do tend to prefer the campier Bonds, to be honest. Yeah. And that is as camp as it gets.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
What's 007 doing? He's attempting re-entry.
What was the one that Pierce Brosnan did, which is dreadful, to a Christmas? He said something about Christmas. He did. There was a line there from Christmas Comes Early.
Oh, I couldn't watch any of those Pierce Brosnan ones. It's
double entendre gone mad. I think she's called Christmas, is the actress. So there's a double entendre about
Christmas something. Comes but once a year.
That's it. Something. Sorry, I think it's something like that.
I haven't seen it, but
I'm not sure if it is exactly what that. But it's something extraordinary. Excellent. Well, we should be. Thank you, Hookie, for that. By the way, thank you, and thank you, Hester, for sending in hers as well, yours as well. Anything you want to say to our listeners before we go? Anything important you need to pass on? Any sort of anything salient? Anything moving, touching? Cheeky.
I should say something, shouldn't I? Now you've set that up, but I don't.
No. If you haven't, if you've got fuck all on your head, then we should be owned by horses and pigs.
Yeah.
Because what a waste.
Beware of the pigs.
What a waste of build up. That's fine, mate. Got fuck all. We got fuck all for everyone, and I quite like that. There's nothing left us because we're quite old now, aren't we? We're in our 50s. Yeah. We have to focus all our energies on just breathing, don't we? And getting downstairs safely.
Got my new phrase that anytime anyone does anything to me now that I don't like, I'll just say, that's elder abuse.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it's true. And you've got that for the rest of your life now. You can use that anytime, forever now. That won't go away now.
No. Yeah, it's true. No.
Yeah. You're elderist. Ageist and elderist.
Oh, you're
elderist.
Being ageist.
Yeah. Yes, especially when we're at a till and we're counting out £20 in 5p pieces to pay for something.
I'm going to start doing that.
You should start.
I'm only going to carry coins with me from now on.
And then when people start tutting behind you, you go, excuse me, are you being elderist? I just prefer to pay. That's all I've got. I've been saving up these coins to buy this whiskey or methylated spirits or whatever it is that you'll be drinking now. Yeah, that's a good one. What else could you do that could annoy people by being old? You don't drive a car. That's a good one. Just drive 10 miles.
Walk really slowly down the street, yeah, but sort of meander slowly from side to side.
Yeah, yeah.
So that whenever they try to pass,
yeah,
it's just impossible.
Yeah.
Because I really like it when people do that in front of me. That's actually one of the most irritating things I find to have to deal with is slowly meandering people who are on their phone and they're just walking from side to side.
Yeah.
I just want to get up. I just want to, go up to them and just push them over. Just push them out of the way.
I tell you what, now that you're Mr. Crozer, an elder statesman of this planet, you could do that and get away with it.
I probably could, couldn't I? I'll just point at my hair and go, look.
Yeah.
I'm 50 plus.
Yeah. I've probably got dementia, which means I can do that. And if you turn on me, then basically I say that you're being ageist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a bad idea. Excellent. Well, we should go, shouldn't we?
I think we've said more than enough.
I think more than enough. Good. Everyone have a lovely week and stay safe.
Stay safe.